You're listening to the Hog Sports Network Daily Podcast. Now, here's your host, Matt Jones.
Hey, happy Monday to you. We appreciate you being here. Ethan Westerman with me. We're going to talk Arkansas LSU all day here on our podcast. Razorbacks lose 34-10 Saturday over at Razorback Stadium. And in a lot of ways, I feel like this game, this scenario, it's just a replay of some of the past years of Arkansas football under Sam Pittman. Basically, they've given themselves a chance to be thought of in a higher manner. And every time they get to that position, Ethan, they're not able to capitalize on being in the position. I thought on Saturday night, back to 2021, they go 4-0, they beat Texas A&M, they've got Georgia, and they're not prepared for that game. They lose 37-0. It starts a three-game losing streak. Next year, they start 3-0. I think they got into the top 10 again, and they lose to Texas A&M. That's the game where KJ Jefferson tries to jump in from the 10, and that, I think, began another three-game losing streak. Even last year, that team, they go to Florida, and they win, and they set up some expectations that, hey, maybe they can come home and they can beat three teams in a row and get to a bowl game. Obviously, that didn't happen. They didn't look good against Auburn, and now here we go. They beat Tennessee. You're talking about Arkansas as a potential top 25 team, a team that can maybe make a pretty nice bowl game at the end of the year. And they come out against LSU, and they just look completely overwhelmed against LSU. And I know in all of those instances, whether it be Georgia a few years ago or Texas A&M, Auburn wasn't this case last year, but LSU on Saturday, they're playing good teams, and they're playing maybe elite teams. LSU, they're one of the only two undefeated teams left in the SEC, at least in conference play. But there's still a disappointment, not so much that you lose, but the fact that you just don't look like you're ready for that moment in any way so whatsoever.
For sure, and I think that Saturday the disappointing thing was probably just the way that they were controlled. Like,
there was never really a point in that game that you felt like Arkansas was going to win. I didn't feel
at all. Like, it always felt like maybe there were a few instances where I thought Arkansas had a chance to flip the game around and maybe gain some momentum, and it changes, especially getting the ball after the first punt, the first LSU punt down 16-10, that possession, I was like, okay, if they can get a drive here, score a touchdown, it's a different game. But yeah, there was no looking at that game and thinking that Arkansas was even remotely the could have been the better team. LSU just handled them. It was just death by a thousand cuts for the Arkansas defense, just 6 yards at a time, 7 yards at a time. LSU didn't get those big plays that I think we're notorious for seeing them mm-hmm. get. I mean, they had a few, it was a 22-yard touchdown run for the first score. Like, that was about as big of a play as they had. They just handled Arkansas, just moved the ball down the field. And on the other side, Arkansas, once again, could get some yards, but yards don't matter, points do.
Can you think of any real deep vertical shots that LSU took?
Not a ton.
I can't think of. I'm sure I'm probably missing one or two.
I think that there may have been a couple. I think Arkansas got called for a pass interference, right, on maybe one.
On the first drive, they got called for a PI. I don't remember how deep down the field that was.
Yeah, but I'm not remembering a ton of them.
The point being that LSU, they just killed Arkansas with those little hitch routes. I mean, it felt like you're kind of watching the same play over and over. Blake Sutton, our producer, and I, we were talking about it beforehand, and I said it reminds me of when I play the NCAA video game against my son, and he doesn't realize that he's the cornerback every snap, okay? And so he just stands there. And so I just run the same little, up and out route. You get 6, 7, 8 yards at a time. And he asked me, he's like, Dad, why do you just keep running that same play? And I'm like, because you're not defending it. Yeah. And I kind of felt like that's what LSU was doing the other day. Arkansas was not defending that route for a good bit of the game, and they were okay saying, hey, look, we'll take 6, 7, 8, 9 yards at a time, and we don't have to take these big 25, 30-yard shots down the field, because if you're going to give us this, we're eventually going to get down there anyway.
Yeah, and it felt like any time that Arkansas even could get them in a third down, because I think the first drive or two maybe, I don't think LSU even faced a third down. They were just moving the ball down the field. And I think finally Arkansas got to the point where they got a few opportunities to go off the field on third down, and they just couldn't. It was just, LSU did what they wanted to. And I think we were high on the LSU offense mm-hmm. going into this game, but that just really highlighted on Saturday just how efficient they are.
Garrett Nussmeier was great. I mean, yeah. He didn't throw a touchdown, but he was great for LSU. On third down, I think he was 9 of 12, and they converted 7 first downs. Seven of those 9 completions went for first down conversions or third down conversions. And I think there was even another third down or two where he completed a pass and it was brought back for a penalty. So he was really good. This is what Sam Pittman had to say after the game Saturday night about Nussmeier and the LSU game.
Very physical football team. Didn't have any turnovers. Nussmeier was really good. Their offensive line was as well. Defensively, we couldn't run the football on them. Couldn't get off on third down. There was a lot of things that we've got to get better at. We got to coach them better as well. But I thought this was a really good LSU team coming in here, and I think they are now too. But 50 offensive snaps and 3 turnovers, we have to do better there.
So that was Sam Pittman talking about the LSU loss the other night. A very, I feel like, dejected head coach.
For sure. I mean, they got handled. I wouldn't expect him to be anything else.
He's always called the SEC a big man's league. You know, talk about you need big people to be able to compete in the league, big offensive linemen, big defensive linemen. You've got to be able to push a team around at the line of scrimmage and not get pushed around at the line of scrimmage. And, boy, it was really, I feel like, the first time this year where we've seen Arkansas get pushed around up front. I can't think of another game in which that happened. I thought it might happen against Tennessee 2 weeks ago. And I don't know if Tennessee, if they were just having a bad night or Arkansas was just having the night of their lives. But, you know, that when you look at what Tennessee did against Alabama, and I know Alabama's not quite what – and then you see what LSU did against Arkansas. It just seems like that performance 2 weeks ago, at least for right now, is a little bit of an anomaly.
For sure. You know, the Arkansas, we're talking about both sides of the line getting pushed around. Specifically, though, talking about the Arkansas offensive line, you know, they took such a leap forward, it felt like, against Tennessee. And so that's why I think that, you know, this performance against LSU, I think it's just, yeah, they just were flat. And it just, the only other game I can think of where I feel like they got pushed around like that was Texas A&M. But Texas A&M.
And they still had some success against A&M.
Yeah, a little bit of success against A&M still. But, like, the pass protection in both games, I think those have got to be their worst by far, was LSU and A&M.
Green was able to run the ball against A&M. I think Jackson was able to get some solid runs against the Aggies. That just wasn't the case against LSU the other night. Just couldn't move the ball. And this is something I said the other day. There's two schools of thought to bye weeks. You know, either you come out really fresh and, you know, you're healed up, and in some ways Arkansas, they were healed up, or you come out really sluggish. And I felt like Tennessee a couple of weeks ago, they were sluggish. I felt like Arkansas against LSU, that was the same way.
Yeah, and it was the same story for, you know, talking about Tennessee off their bye week and Arkansas off its bye week, just didn't even have the ball in their hands enough. Like, that was what was so key to Arkansas beating Tennessee in the first place, was controlling time of possession, controlling, you know, that first quarter. I think Tennessee had the ball for, like, 2 to 3 minutes or something. I think Arkansas against LSU had it for 4 minutes. You look at the end of the game, I mean, in that clip that we heard Pittman, he alluded to it, Arkansas had 50 total plays. Just to put that, like, how low of that, they had 55 runs against Auburn. Like, just one type of play against Auburn. They had 55 runs. They had 47 runs against Oklahoma State. Like, they didn't even, they've had games where they've had as many just rushes as they did total plays on Saturdays. So that's just what I mean by getting controlled.
Turnovers, again, a killer for Arkansas. 3-0, LSU wins the turnover battle. They scored 11 points off of those 3 turnovers. They're going to win this game, I think, without the turnovers. But when you're giving a team that's whipping you a chance to, you know, have a short field, that makes a difference. And if you take the Auburn game away from Arkansas, and that counts, I understand that. But if you take that game away, they are -8 in turnover margin this year. And that would be one of the very worst scores in the country. They're already really low at -5. They're 109th nationally, tied with Charlotte out of 133 teams. This is a team that just cannot take care of the football. And again, outside of Auburn, they can't force turnovers. They forced 7 turnovers this year, and 5 of them came in that Auburn game. Obviously, the turning point against LSU was Taylen Green's interception, where Whit Weeks made an incredible play for LSU, batting the ball up in the air. I think Green tried to knock it down, and he basically knocked it right into Weeks' hands, and LSU never really looked back from there. This is what Pippen had to say about that sequence.
Interception was a one play. You know, we got the ball with the 16-10. Everything kind of was coming in what we thought we told the kids at half. We said, you know, we get the ball, we'll get into a one-score game, whether it's a field goal or a touchdown, and then we'll get the ball back. We'll take the lead, put the pressure back on them. And it kind of was working out that way. And then, you know, we missed a outside rusher that we should have blocked, and then, you know, threw the ball and got tipped up, got it to the one, and then they made the two-point conversion on top of that, and we got down 14, and just seemed like we couldn't bounce back from that.
Taylen Green, 6 interceptions this year. He's kind of on pace for, you know, in an interception total comparable to what he had against or for Boise State last year. It's one of those deals where I just feel like, you know, sometimes a Tiger can't change its stripes. Sometimes you're turnover prone, and that's been the case with him.
Yeah, I mean, we knew it going into the year that this was a possibility for him. Just hasn't shown great decision making all of his career. It's kind of what we expected. It's just you got to take the good with the bad. I'd like to see. I think his season total with touchdown to interceptions about 1-1. Mm-hmm. Got to be, I think, out of the starting quarterbacks in the SEC, one of the lowest ones. It's a matter of, you know, he's your best option still, no doubt about it. I think Taylen Green's your best. He's your best option. It's just got to avoid those type of plays. And, you know, the one against LSU was kind of, I will say, of all the interceptions he's thrown this year, that was the most just impressive play a defender made to make an interception. But
Weeks
still,
is a phenomenal player.
Yeah, but still just can't have that happen.
Weeks, he looks like an All-America type. He was the reigning SEC Defensive Player of the Week. Green, 7 games he's played this year, 6 touchdown passes.
Mm-hmm.
That's a – who – I don't think – I mean, even maybe the most pessimistic person would have believed that Arkansas would only have 6 touchdown passes through 7 games.
Yeah. You know, and thankfully for Arkansas, I mean, the scoring isn't there where it needs to be, but thankfully for them, their rushing touchdowns have dwarfed last year's, or else who knows what this offense would be averaging right now. I mean, it's just – you know, what's telling to me is this. LSU was 5-5 in the red zone. Arkansas was 0-0. Like, Arkansas just – like, LSU cashed in. They moved the ball, just scored. Arkansas, their offense, it feels like it comes to die, like, at about the 50-yard line to the opponent, like, 25. And
they're really good between the 25s.
Yeah, they're really good, yeah, the middle of the field. And then they'll get down there, and they don't even get in the red zone a lot of times because they'll make some silly mistake or get sacked on a third down or something. It's just – yeah, it's got to get yourself in a situation to have those passing touchdowns, because it feels like Taylen Green, I'm trying to think of his passing touchdowns this year. The Isaiah Satania one at Auburn was like 50-something yards. The 70-something to Tesla. It's not like the normal just like you're down
it's
at the
like
9.
Broken plays. And
yeah, you're not at the 9-yard line just needing like, you know, a fade in the back of the end zone.
He did have a good touchdown pass to Armstrong the other day.
Yeah, he did.
25-yarder.
He did.
The passing game – the whole offense just feels. I'm not gonna go with broken. It just feels stuck. Mm-hmm. I mean, I wrote something today at our website, the SEC power ratings story, or the efficiency ratings, power rankings, and Arkansas's offense right now, actually from an efficiency standpoint, through 5 games against power competition, is below where it was last year with Dan Enos. Last year, they were scoring at about a 27%, or scoring about 27% of all their points possible. This year, it's about 25%. Now, one thing that Enos had that Petrino doesn't have is a reliable field goal kicker. They had Cam Little last year, and basically anytime you got within, I don't know, 40, 50 yards, you felt like you were going to get points out of Cam Little. And in the first 5 games against power competition last year, he made 11 of 12 field goals. Shipley and Ramsey this year are 6 of 11. They missed a field goal the other night. Shipley did against LSU, missed a shorter field goal than he made later in the game, made a 51-yarder later in the game that made it 16-10 early in the third quarter. But even if you had Cam Little's field goal efficiency on this team, it's still right at where they were last year, somewhere around 27, 28%. And that's just not good enough to win – a lot of games unless you've got an incredible defense. And Arkansas's credit, their defense has been pretty good this year, but I feel like on Saturday it showed what happens whenever the defense doesn't have a good game. Unless your offense plays up way above the level that it's been producing, you're just not going to have a chance.
Yeah, and I think what was so, you know, there's a lot of these games that Arkansas has not been able to cash in and score in. You do tip your cap to the defense a little bit, and you still do that from Saturday's game. You never don't give the defense credit, but it's not like LSU's defense going into this game was, like, doing anything
no,
to make
think
you think
they're
it
about
was,
10th in the SEC
yeah,
efficiency. The,
and their rushing defense was 13th. Arkansas gets held to 38 yards. I think that their it was either their scoring defense or total defense was, like, 15th, so almost last. It's that's what's concerning now is it's like you play the team that's shown that – that it can give up some points. I mean, think of South Carolina scored, I think, 33 on them in a loss. Ole Miss could have scored a lot more. They had the same problems as Arkansas. I mean, except I mean, they still put up however many they did, but that was a lot of bend but don't break by LSU in that game. Arkansas just the 10 points on the board. It felt, you know, sometimes in some of these losses for Arkansas this year or wins, you look at the final score and you think like, wow, can't believe they only had 10 points or whatever many points. It felt right on Saturday. It didn't. It felt like that was about what the offense earned.
Yeah, the offense, they'll have some chances this weekend against Mississippi State to improve the offensive number because Mississippi State's defense is by far the worst defense in the SEC. But right now, Arkansas 12th in offensive efficiency. Basically, it's a virtual tie with South Carolina. Arkansas up on South Carolina by a decimal point. Kentucky, Auburn, and Oklahoma, the only ones are worse. And all three of those teams are having really horrible years offensively. OU just fired their offensive coordinator on Sunday because of how bad they looked the last couple of games against Texas and South Carolina. We got a lot more Arkansas and LSU coming up, but first a word from our sponsors.
Want to enjoy your life again? Burning, numbness, and general pain in your feet and legs might be keeping you from your daily activities. Neuropathy treatment can be effective to restoring your life. Come see what we can do at Enhanced Healthcare Wellness Institute in Uptown Rogers. We can treat your neuropathy pain and get you back in the game of life. Enhanced Healthcare Wellness Institute is located at 5102 West Pauline Whitaker Parkway in Uptown Rogers.
At Kendall King, we're proud of over four decades of design. We're continuing the legacy of great creative design by combining our brands of Kendall King, Soapbox, and ShopCart. Together, these brands represent a new focus in marketing design with individual attention to specific areas. Through our design expertise supported by a team of talented professionals, we showcase our best. We are Kendall King, we are Soapbox, we are ShopCart, we are design.
Welcome back. We want to tell you about our friends at Enhanced Healthcare Wellness Institute. They are your source for holistic wellness and your healthy lifestyle changes. Located in Uptown Rogers, the staff at Enhanced Healthcare will target your specific health plan for wellness, from neuropathy treatment, primary care, weight loss, and so much more. You can count on the experts at Enhanced Healthcare Wellness Institute in Rogers. LSU, they look like a pretty good team. They're going to play Texas A&M this weekend, and those are the last two teams who are undefeated in conference play. Both of them have a loss, and this is the first time since 2007 that every team in the SEC has a loss before the month of November. If you remember 2007, it was a pretty crazy year, and we'll talk about that more. This is what Brian Kelly, though, had to say after the game Saturday night.
Obviously, these games have always been close games, but to come down here and play, you know, the kind of football we did today, which was controlling the line of scrimmage. They had 38 yards rushing, and for us to run the football and close out the game with a drive of 8 minutes and 20 seconds, virtually running the ball every down. That's, you know, those are the things that you look for in, you know, a football team that is emerging as a contender. So proud of our group, proud of the way they prepared for this game. And certainly when you go on the road and win in an SEC venue, you know, certainly a lot of things are coming together for our football team. So
Don't you just love it when a coach changes before he goes to the post-game news conference? He cares enough about his appearance that he was totally changed by the time he got there.
I didn't even realize what he was wearing during the game. So I couldn't have told you that that was a change.
Way to throw a wet blanket on my my point right there. You were in the news conference room, though. I mean, like, what did you take away from listening to Brian Kelly?
He felt very confident that, I mean, he knew they just, it was like a demoralizing way that they beat Arkansas, and he knew it. He's like, yeah, we basically was just like, we just controlled them both sides of the ball at the line of scrimmage. He knew that that was a game that it wasn't any sort of fluke. They were that much better than Arkansas. And he was very it felt like he was very confident that they're now positioning themselves to be a real contender in the SEC.
I almost, like, listening to his comments, I almost felt like he was kind of surprised by how thoroughly they beat the Razorbacks.
I kind of maybe got that at the beginning as far as him saying, you know, like, these are usually close. But the more it wore on, I mean, he just was pointing out everything that they did. I didn't sense that as much as I just sensed him. He was just super confident.
I mean, it was really the key to the game, but this soundbite right here, this is just a coach telling the truth, and this is why LSU won.
And it starts with controlling the line of scrimmage. They could not run the ball. They became one-dimensional, and when that happens, we can get after it, and we can get after the quarterback, and we made life difficult for him.
So a lot of people were wondering how good was LSU. You know, they barely beat Ole Miss. I still think Ole Miss is a really good team. I think Ole Miss is a good team who's lost a couple of close games that, you know, to borrow Hugh Freeze's statement, that if they played, you know, X number of times, that they might win the majority of them. I think LSU's really good too, though. And I've said this a few times in last week, that I think the hallmark of a good program and a good coach is that you get a lot better. Every team gets better during the season, but there are some teams that get a lot better from game one to game 12 or game 13 or 14 or however many you play. And, you know, I guess on one hand, you could maybe hold it against Brian Kelly that they don't always look really good coming out of the gates. On the other hand, they typically are playing some pretty good competition to open the season. I know Southern Cal's struggling, but I still think that's a team that is going to beat a lot of teams this year. They played Florida State last year. I think they played Florida State the year before that. But they get a lot better. And I just feel like with LSU, you see a team that's just – their confidence is growing from week to week to week. And now, like we said, here they sit playing Texas A&M this weekend. I mean, who would have had LSU and Texas A&M as the last two undefeated teams left in the SEC? I think if you had that bet at the beginning of the season, you'd be winning a lot of money right now.
Definitely. I don't think anybody had that. But it's just, yeah, it's kind of what LSU's done under Brian Kelly. Their phenomenal record in October, which is just really telling because that's the heart of your schedule. And it's whenever – October's always whenever teams are dealing with the – exactly what LSU dealt with this week of like, oh, can you handle business after a big win, or can you handle a team that just came off of a bye? This is the time of year that all that stuff kind of happens, and the fact they have such a good record in October, I believe that makes Kelly 8-1 at LSU in October. His only loss was first year, so they've proven that they can take care of business in that really crucial part of the season when I think that's whenever you get the separation that, you know, A lot of things are determined in October.
So Arkansas, moving forward, they play Mississippi State this weekend. The Razorbacks and the Bulldogs is going to be an 11:45 kickoff on SEC Network on Saturday morning. Mississippi State, they come into this with a 6-game losing streak, but they are playing better. I've told people this. I don't think the Georgia score really reflects how much of a mismatch that game was 2 weeks ago. But Mississippi State lost by 10. In Athens. We were kind of keeping track of the Mississippi State A&M game in the press box the other day. They lose by 10 to Texas A&M. They're a team that this feels like a game where Arkansas's got to really – they got to go in there, because I got to feel like the way Mississippi State has played the last couple of weeks relative to how they played early on in this losing streak, they're starting to get confidence, and they probably see an Arkansas team coming in here licking its wounds from playing LSU saying – hey, we might be able to pick them off. Mississippi State, if they win a game this year, they're probably only going to win one SEC game. It would surprise me if they win more than one. And I feel like Arkansas is at a point where they've got to be really cautious going in there Saturday. Arkansas is a 7.5-point favorite, but maybe they do beat Mississippi State by that much or more. but it just feels like a real trap game with Ole Miss around the corner.
Oh, major trap game. And here's the deal with Mississippi State. They're not, you know, you think of their record and stuff right now and how a lot of times at this point of the season, a team with that record, it means that they're totally just given up. They don't want to be there. They're just trying to get through the rest of their season. That's not the case of Mississippi State. They're building every week, it feels like. It feels like they're just kind of like understanding that it's their first year with a new coach and they're just getting a little bit better. And then you look at the schedule for them and they're probably like, oh, wow, this is if we're going to beat a team in conference play, this could be the one. They're going to be up for this game. I'm no doubt about it in my mind. I think that Arkansas's got to be really, really cautious, especially given the fact that that's such a hard place to play.
I'm really interested in the Arkansas offense against the Mississippi State defense matchup because I mentioned this. Mississippi State defensively, they're terrible. They are awful. They are giving up 52% of all points possible. The next closest team in the SEC is Vanderbilt at 38.5%. I mean, this is a huge margin between one team and another. So Florida was great against Mississippi State offensively. Georgia was very good. Texas A&M was very good. They just have not been able to stop teams. I mean, you look at the efficiency numbers, and, you know, it feels like every game it's 34 points in 10 possessions or 41 points in 10 possessions or 45 points in 10 possessions. But on the other hand, Arkansas has been so inefficient. And so the question becomes, and one other thing, Mississippi State, all of these teams that they have played to this point, Florida, Texas, Georgia, and A&M in the SEC play, they're all in the top half of the SEC in offensive efficiency. So are their numbers better because they played Mississippi State? Are Mississippi State's numbers worse because they played those teams? And then when you take Arkansas's offensive inefficiency into account, this is a really fascinating matchup on Saturday that might tell us a lot about Mississippi State's defense and Arkansas's offense.
Well, yeah, I think it is a little bit of, you know, the teams that Mississippi State's played with their defensive efficiency being so bad. But, I mean, they're lucky that Toledo's not in that figure. Also would probably be worse. It's not like, I mean, they've played some teams that, like, you know, like your Toledo's that have also scored on them. It's going to be a test for Arkansas, though. I do think that this is the chance for Arkansas to actually have a really nice offensive game. I mean, I was looking at Mississippi State last week, and that secondary is really, really bad. Like, I forget how many passing yards Georgia had on them, but it was up there. And they're averaging, in SEC play, I know teams are averaging, I think, north of maybe 250 yards passing, maybe closer to 300. It's somewhere up there. It's a chance for Arkansas to actually really get something going from a passing game standpoint and maybe try and get in the end zone some more. Here we go. I have it up right here. Georgia passed for 459 yards on them. If your secondary gives up 459 passing yards, that's just almost impressive. Texas had 325 on them. Toledo had 285. This is a chance for Arkansas to actually put up some points.
And on the other hand, it's a chance for Arkansas, I feel like, defensively to maybe reassert itself that, hey, LSU that's not who we were. Mississippi State, offensively, they're going to be playing a true freshman quarterback, Michael Van Buren. They had a quarterback, Blake Shapen, I think was his name, who got hurt earlier in the year. I think messed up his elbow. He's out, or messed up his shoulder, and he's out for the season. This offense is basically the Kendall Briles offense. Jeff Lebby and Kendall Brile are brothers-in-law. Lebby came out of the Art Briles coaching tree, just like Kendall did. So it's very similar offensively. It's what Ole Miss ran for the first few years under Lane Kiffin. And so this is a chance, too, for Arkansas defensively to go in there and say, hey, we're an elite defense. What you saw against LSU was maybe more a matter of a really good offense on the other side.
Yeah, I'd agree. I think that they do got to be cautious. I think this Van Buren, he's good. I mean, I think he won SEC Freshman of the Week after the Georgia game. He passed for a freshman record, a Mississippi State freshman record. He had 306 passing yards against Georgia. So Arkansas got to come to play defensively. And it comes back to me so many times is, they just play very bad in Starkville most of the time, you know, for whatever reason. I think that this is a type of game that, you know, it sets up as such a trap. And that's what LSU, we thought on the Arkansas side, a good team doesn't fall victim to the trap and they just kind of handle business. So we'll see what Arkansas's made of. I think that Saturday's game will tell me more about Arkansas than a lot of games have.
So I mentioned kind of those at the start of the show, all those instances like 21 when they went to Georgia and 22 when they lost to A&M. Like it felt like one loss became two, became three in a lot of cases. And so that's going to be a key for this team. To their credit, Oklahoma State, they didn't lose to UAB the next week, although they very well could have. They didn't start out very well. But Oklahoma State didn't beat them twice, or Texas A&M didn't beat them twice. And so now the key is going to be, can Arkansas keep LSU from beating them twice when they go down to Starkville on Saturday? We're going to go around the SEC. We're going to revisit our predictions from last week when we come back. But first, another word from our sponsors.
Want to enjoy your life again? Burning, numbness, and general pain in your feet and legs might be keeping you from your daily activities. Neuropathy treatment can be effective to restoring your life. Come see what we can do at Enhanced Healthcare Wellness Institute in Uptown Rogers. We can treat your neuropathy pain and get you back in the game of life. Enhanced Healthcare Wellness Institute is located at 5102 West Pauline Whitaker Parkway in Uptown Rogers.
At Kendall King, we're proud of over four decades of design. We're continuing the legacy of great creative design by combining our brands of Kendall King, Soapbox, and ShopCart. Together, these brands represent a new focus in marketing design with individual attention to specific areas. Through our design expertise supported by a team of talented professionals, we showcase our best. We are Kendall King, we are Soapbox, we are ShopCart, we are design.
Welcome back. I want to tell you about our friends over at Bentonville Glass. They have been serving their community since 1971. Bentonville Glass is committed, professional, and versatile. If you're looking for a quality leader in Northwest Arkansas or looking for skilled craftsmanship, look no further than Bentonville Glass for all your glass market needs with the highest quality products. Come by and see them right now at 507 South Main in Bentonville or online at bentonvilleglass.com. Last weekend was a hard weekend to predict in the SEC. We talked about it on Friday's show, how it felt like it was just flip a coin Saturday. You just, every game felt like it was going to be a toss-up. And in a lot of cases, they were. Florida-Kentucky surprised me because I don't think anybody expected Florida to beat anybody by 28 points, especially not an SEC team. Arkansas-Florida, or Arkansas-LSU, I think was a little bit surprising just because of the nature of that series and how close it's been. Yeah, but for the most part, it was a lot of close games. Auburn-Missouri came down to the wire. Oklahoma-South Carolina did not. That was a blowout for South Carolina. Texas-Georgia, it's hard to say it came down to the wire, although it was still, I feel like, in doubt until probably about 4 or 5 minutes left in that game. Let's see, I said Auburn-Missouri. Who else? Tennessee-Alabama was a really good game. So it was hard to predict the weekend, and let's go back over it. Okay, so I had LSU. Did you have LSU? I think you had
LSU.
I
picked LSU.
I picked Alabama to beat Tennessee.
I've got to own that one. I picked Tennessee. I said Neyland Stadium would make a difference, and let me tell you, video from that game, it did. That place was rocking.
Tennessee, I mean, to their credit, they're winning. It doesn't look real pretty, but they're winning. I feel like for Alabama, they need Jalen Milroe to be really good to win because of how bad their defense is. And they're not getting that from him right now. And I would be concerned if I'm Alabama right now. I mean, this looks like a team. I don't know what their schedule is, moving forward. I do know they play Missouri this week. But, man, they look like a team that might end up with another loss or two before the regular season's over if they don't get better quarterback play, because they've got to have their offense producing at a high level in order to make up for some of the defensive problems they've got.
I'd agree. There's so many red flags with them right now. I mean, if losing to Vanderbilt isn't a big enough red flag, I don't know what's going to be one. I mean, credit Vandy. They're ranked 25th now.
Oh, Vanderbilt, though. I mean, like it's like they're playing up and down to their competition right now. They beat Alabama. They beat Kentucky. But one of their losses is to Georgia State, and they nearly got picked off by Ball State at home.
Whenever I saw that they moved into the rankings yesterday, I don't know how. I don't know why, how, what they happened on Saturday made enough difference for people to.
Well, Vanderbilt was one. They're basically 26th last week in the AP poll.
Yeah.
So I'm guessing a team or two fell out, and people are just, hey, let's reward Vandy for having five wins.
I just would have probably jumped them by somebody else. If you have two losses and one of them's to Georgia State and you just escaped Ball State, I don't know. Congrats to Vandy, though, for being ranked. That's great. Vandy's ranked. But it just seemed funny to me that you had a pretty bad showing against Ball State and moved into the rankings.
I was happy that our prediction ratings almost got the Mississippi State-Texas A&M score like almost got it perfect. It had 31-21 and A&M won 34-24.
Yeah. Pretty cool.
Again, wet blanket.
Yeah. That's sad. It does this thing. If you pay attention to Matt's efficiency ratings, last year we laughed at it because it said Vandy was going to hang with Georgia for a little bit or something.
And they did.
And they did. And we were like, okay, we'll just trust the process, I guess. But yeah, no, that was, that surprised me. Like, I thought that would be wrong. I thought A&M would really handle them, but it wasn't a blowout by any means. I mean, I think Mississippi State had a lead like pretty late into the first half or something.
South Carolina, you know, beat the snot out of OU. Yeah. I had South Carolina.
I picked Oklahoma and I'm done picking them.
I'm at the point and I'm if you can't play offense at a very efficient level, why would you pick one of those teams?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't think South Carolina's offense.
See, because I picked Kentucky to beat Florida, and Kentucky's offense is terrible.
Yeah, I just didn't think – I wasn't sold on South Carolina's offense against that Oklahoma defense, but they proved me wrong. I mean, but they did get a lot of points via their defense, so it wasn't a great week for me picking some of these games that – Like that was just a bad pick. I should have picked South Carolina all along.
Did you pick Florida or Kentucky?
I picked Florida.
Okay.
So that was a good pick. My misses this week, I know we're going through them, but I missed Auburn as well. I missed Oklahoma, Florida, and Auburn, which Auburn almost proved me right. Or no, didn't miss Florida. I missed Texas, Oklahoma,
yeah, I picked Texas,
Auburn.
Too.
It was hard to pick. It would have been hard to pick Georgia.
And I said this.
That.
It's, well, I mean, in some ways, yes, it's hard to pick them, but we were worried about or worried may not be the right word. We were conscious about Texas and the schedule that it has played to that point. And for Georgia, I'm never picking against Georgia again. I think that's basically the bottom line.
Yeah.
I said it on Friday. I said, my gut says don't pick against Georgia, but I'm going to go with Texas. I shouldn't have done that.
Yeah. Well, and we're just learning with your picks, if you pick...
How about Kirby with his rabbit ears here in the College Game Day picks and call him out on it after the game on Saturday?
Saw that. That was funny. And he called out ESPN. And did he call out the refs, too?
Yes, he called out the referees.
Yeah, I was about to say, he some zingers in there, but that was a crazy game. I mean, unfortunately, because we were covering a blowout in Fayetteville, we weren't really getting to watch that one as closely. But
you were going somewhere? You said... You've learned something about my picks?
Oh, yeah. If you pick Florida, they're going to lose. If you pick the team they're going to play.
I can't get Florida right. Yeah, I think I've gotten them right like one time this year.
Yeah, you can't get Florida right.
Did you have Missouri?
Did I have Missouri?
Over Auburn?
No, I picked Auburn. And okay. Auburn just lost that game.
They should have won.
They had so many chances to just put it away, and they just couldn't. I was thinking about it watching that game on Saturday. There's got to be no team this year that is more frustrating for their fan base than Auburn. They've got to be so frustrated.
Well, they
to
showed
watch.
A graphic, and I think they were down 17-6 going into the fourth quarter. They showed a graphic on Saturday that Auburn, before that game, had outscored their opponents by like 60 in the first three quarters of games this year, and then they'd been outscored by 5 in the fourth quarter. Of course, they've lost a lot of close games, and I'm guessing they probably blew out a team in the fourth quarter somewhere because – they let the Arkansas game – oh, I wouldn't say they let them get away in the fourth quarter, but Arkansas was able to pull away in the fourth. Certainly gave away the OU game in the fourth quarter, and I think Cal, they might have given that one away in the fourth quarter too, and then obviously Missouri. But how about Missouri's quarterback going to the hospital? He gets hurt early enough in the game that he's able to go to the hospital, get an MRI, get that read, get – and the hospital, if you haven't been to Faurot Field, is literally like right across the highway from the football stadium. So it goes over to the hospital, comes right back, goes into the indoor facility to see if the ankle's going to hold up, and then basically comes back for the fourth quarter, and Willis Reed leads him to a comeback, a 95-yard touchdown drive in the last 4 minutes of that game. Say what you want about Missouri, but that was really impressive.
Yeah, good stuff from Brady Cook there. Yeah, I think, in my opinion, of all the games I watched Saturday, the most entertaining one, just as far as there were so many like little things happening in that one. I mean, Auburn had a great chance to go up 3 scores right before the fourth quarter started, and I forgot what happened, but they didn't. And it felt like that was by far the game's turning point. I mean, I forgot what happened, but they had a chance to score, and then Missouri throws just a deep ball with Brady Cook right after he got back in the game and gets it down to like the in within the Auburn 10-yard line to start the fourth quarter. So it went from almost a 3-score game to Missouri's about to make it like I guess it was – I forget what the score was. You said 17-6?
17-6 at one point.
Yeah, so they had a chance to then make it like a 1-score game early in the fourth quarter. It was just Auburn – Auburning this year. I mean, they just can't take care of business.
Hugh Freeze just looks like he's about to melt on the sideline.
Oh my gosh.
You got to wonder whether or not they're going to make it a change at the end of the year, because they're giving away so many of these opportunities that they have to win. I mean, who have they got left to beat? I don't know that they play Mississippi State this year. I mean, Auburn, they're
the win left on their schedule is some non-conference. I was looking at this not long
ago. Well, I'm talking about SEC play, though.
Oh, yeah, SEC play. I don't think
they play
have
Vanderbilt,
one.
And all of a sudden that game becomes...
Yeah, you thought it was going to be Vanderbilt was their win, but it's no longer. They have Kentucky this weekend at Kentucky. They could win that.
That'll be a slugfest.
That's going to be some gross football. They also play ULM, which it would...
Did ULM just... No, they weren't the ones who fired their coach. It was Southern Miss. Go
no,
ahead.
But ULM's pretty good this year. They're 5-1. I know they lost to Texas 51-3, but that's their only loss of the year. They beat UAB, which Arkansas is familiar with, 32-6.
Everybody's beaten up UAB this year.
Yeah. They beat James Madison 21-19, and James Madison is a good team. I mean, not that I should – I'm doing some transitive property right here, but James Madison beat Ball State, which gave Vandy – they beat Ball State 63-7.
James Madison beat North Carolina, too.
Yeah.
Back on track here, SEC. the one thing that happened over the weekend, Texas gets fined $250,000 for throwing the trash on the field to protest a call that then gets overturned. People are – Kirby Smart was just incensed about this after the game, the fact that that call got overturned, and it allowed Texas, I guess, to stay in the game, late in the game. And then Tennessee, they get fined $100,000 for – rushing the field. So Alabama has got now $100,000 owed to them from Tennessee and $100,000 owed to them from Vanderbilt. I mean, do they just like divert the Arkansas funds that are going to Tennessee down to Alabama? This is five teams now who have gotten fined by the SEC in the last 3 weeks. Arkansas got fined, Vanderbilt got fined, LSU got fined, Texas has been fined, and Tennessee's been fined. That's $950,000 in fines in the last 3 weeks that the SEC has handed out.
Yeah, field rushing is out of control. It really is. Like,
it's not about, and it's no longer about, hey, we beat, you know, whoever. It's just, we're going to go down there and party.
Yeah, there's absolutely no, like, now, like, legitimate, this is a game that deserves it. Used to in the past, I was like, it literally, I feel like, took beating like a top five team,
mm-hmm.
and you had to be unranked,
mm-hmm.
or maybe like number 25.
I remember South Carolina did it 1 year, but South Carolina had lost like 18 in a row or something. I mean, it was kind of like when Arkansas beat Texas. You know, it's like you're rushing the field not so much for who you beat. Which I mean, obviously they're gonna be happy when they beat Texas, but it was more about what the last few years had been like. I think what that was, somebody's gonna get hurt in one of these field rushes eventually.
Yeah, well, Greg Sankey.
I hate to sound like the old man in the room, but I mean, there have been some instances in the past where there have been some very serious injuries when it comes to these field rushes. I mean, you look overseas, there have been some really catastrophic events that have happened. When you've had not field rushing, but when you've had, stampeding events at sporting events, I know people are like, hey, this is harmless. It's fun. It worries me when I see it.
Yeah. And Greg Sankey was asked, he had an availability at SEC basketball media day this week, and he was asked about field storming, and somebody asked about, have they thought about revisiting those tiers of how much teams are having to pay because of how much it is? And he said, it's an emotional moment talking about the field storming. Those players, those coaches belong in the field. They're there to be on that field, to be on that court. Our fans are there to be on the stands. And then he's referencing the weekend that Vanderbilt and Arkansas both won. He said, 2 weeks ago, plenty of social media activity. You've seen this. Well, the players are trying to exit. That conflict can happen, and it concerns me. He said, that's at the top of my concerns, not fines and whether that affects name, image, and likeness. Because somebody framed it with, these schools are now funding all these different things. He said the ability for teams, for cheerleaders, for medical staffs, for coaching staffs to move away safely and without disruption, that's on my mind. He just really buckled down. I feel like he mentioned how this is all going to the opposing school, and he says I don't think anybody wants to give their opponent free money. But end of the day,
it's such a drop in the bucket.
How are you going to stop it? There's no way to.
There's no way you can physically stop it. You have to put some sort of reprimand's not the word. You have to tie something to this to make it stop.
You have to.
You rush the field, you forfeit that win for a bowl eligibility.
Well, I think you have
that,
to.
That starts to get people's attention.
Maybe college students are going to do whatever though. They're crazy and they don't understand the nature of it.
I'm just telling you, if you rush the field for a team that is going to be 6-6 at the end of the year and they don't get to go to a bowl because you rush the field. Now, granted, a 6-6 bowl is not going to be a very great bowl, but what if it's the difference, say, like between a 9-win bowl eligible and a 10-win bowl eligible, and it's the difference between going and playing in the playoff, and you know what I'm saying?
So well, then Arkansas,
you're
going to
have to tie something like that to make it stop if you are that concerned about making it stop. Right now, 250,000, 500,000, 100,000, that is a drop in the bucket whenever it's coming out of a pool of $45, $50, $60 million.
Yeah, well, then Arkansas just needs to bring a big old bus or two up to whenever they play Missouri or something and just tell the just say, hey, rush the field afterward, and they'll forfeit. There's no way to actually enforce this because there's so many loopholes. I feel like you got to put more just consequences on people who do rush the field where they know that there's a possibility that X happens to you. Like, I know that right now part of the review process with Texas, Georgia is students or anybody who threw stuff.
If you can identify them, they can't come to the game the rest of the year.
Yeah, and there's actually, I feel like I've seen
some
stuff.
And if Texas doesn't comply, if Texas doesn't comply, they run the risk of not getting to sell alcohol at their games for the rest of the year because the SEC has the power to revoke that privilege.
Yeah, and I've seen some stuff already today of them, actual evidence that people are getting identified from that incident on Saturday.
It's surprising.
That's what I'm saying. I feel like it's got to be more consequences for the individual because let's be honest. College students don't care what the implication is on the Arkansas Athletic Department's budget. They care about what's the consequences for them. And that's how you got to stop it. There's got to be consequences for the people that are rushing the field. And it stinks because I think rushing the field is actually a really cool tradition in college football whenever it deserves it. But, some of these the past few weeks just don't deserve it. And all it is, had Arkansas beaten LSU, I promise you that field would have been rushed again.
Might have.
It would have. Those students would have done it.
It's not the players and the coaches that I worry so much about. It's the people who are actually rushing the field.
Yeah.
And what could potentially happen with that. You know, that flow of
there was
of
a lot
people
of
coming
emotion
down out of the stands
on the Tennessee game. There was a lot of pushing and stuff, and I thought somebody was going to get hurt. To be honest,
I remember watching the 2014 LSU game when they ran the field, and there was this. There was a metal barrier that they literally pushed up against and broke it down, and you could watch. And I was sitting in the press box, you could see like the first six rows of people basically all kind of just fell over on top of each other. Now, how many of them actually went all the way to the ground, I don't know. But I was talking to somebody from the stadium, a couple of years after that, and they said that it did not break cleanly at the bottom, and there were these jagged pieces that were sticking up out of the ground that if somebody would have fallen on that, it could have done some real serious damage to them. So
there's a lot of safety concerns. And the thing is, that's what I'm saying, people just don't understand anymore. Like, they're just going to rush it if it's a big win regardless. You saw LSU and Ole Miss. That didn't deserve one. No. Arkansas students, had they beaten LSU, I can almost guarantee you would have rushed the field. Because it's more now just about, getting your moment of getting to do that than it is actually the significance of the win.
I want to mention 2007 real quick because I brought this up earlier. Like I said, this is the first time since 07 that there's not an undefeated team in the SEC going into November. That was the year where LSU won the national championship as a two-loss team. They lost triple overtime games to Kentucky and Arkansas that year. But you had just some crazy things. You had a good Tennessee team in the East that year. You had a real good Georgia team in the East. From an individual standpoint, that was the year that Tebow beat Darren McFadden for the Heisman Trophy, both of them from the SEC. Just a crazy year. LSU won some really nutty games that year. en route to winning a national championship. So I say all that to say the SEC feels as wide open as maybe it ever has at this point in the season. It's you've got the addition of teams, you've got the elimination of divisions, and you know, I would say that even the two-loss teams right now in the SEC may still feel like they've got a chance if enough chaos ensues in front of them to get to Atlanta. If you're Ole Miss and you've got two losses, I'd say, hey, hang in there. Let's just see what happens with all the different tiebreakers, because this is a very different season than we've seen in the past in the SEC. And to me, it makes it a lot more fun. Doesn't it to you?
Yeah, I think it's fun that there's
We could have an SEC championship game this year that doesn't have Georgia and Alabama. To me, that's refreshing.
Yeah, I think it's fun from the sense of, like, there's still a lot of intrigue in the rest for the rest of the year. I mean, there's a few teams that you would be really surprised if they don't make the playoff at this point. But I think there is going to be maybe a team or two from the SEC that gets in there that you're like, oh, I didn't necessarily think they'd be in.
You wonder how many teams from the SEC are going to get in the playoff because they're beating the heck out of each other every week.
Yeah. And
I mean, they're making some really fun television moments, but they're also, I think, hurting themselves potentially down the road.
Yeah, I'm curious to see if there's like a two different two-loss SEC teams and it comes down to which one do you pick, that type of situation where, you know, you're beating up on each other enough that one of you is going to get the bid over the other, and it's going to see like what made the committee decide, you know, Tennessee over Missouri. I don't know.
We appreciate you being with us today. We've got a lot more Arkansas football, obviously, to talk this week. Basketball season's here for all intents and purposes. The Razorbacks play Kansas in an exhibition game on Friday night. We're going to have some guests on this week that are going to help us preview that game as well, tell us some about Arkansas and tell us some about Kansas. So we're in overlap season, and we enjoy that part of the year. Hope you'll come visit us at wholehogsports.com today and throughout the week to read all of our coverage there. And we'll be back with another podcast tomorrow. Until then, have a great day, everyone.